This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful, beautiful day to be in the house of God together. I'm so glad to welcome all of you, and especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us for the first time. We hope that you have a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you and that you feel the love and spirit of Christ in this place as we worship together this morning. One of our practices as a congregation is to sign in. So we have registration pads at the end of each row, and if they pass by, if you wouldn't mind signing in and paying attention to the names of others sitting on your row. And if you see a name you don't recognize, there'll be an opportunity to greet them at the passing of the peace and especially at the end of the service. We encourage you to do that. If you are visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about West End United Methodist Church, after the service, you can go through this door into Reed Hall, and there will be some of us and also some Andrew ministers there to answer questions and greet you and help you feel welcome in this place. Also in Reed Hall, there's an opportunity to sign up to help with Room in the Inn. This is our ministry for the folks who are living on the streets of Nashville. Every Wednesday from November through March, we host 12 homeless gentlemen. They spend the night at the church, and we provide meals and laundry services and all of those things, and there are sign-ups in Reed Hall with lots more information. So we hope you'll sign up to be part of that wonderful ministry. A couple of events coming up right away. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, the all-church picnic is taking place at the home of Buster and Kathy Scholl. The address is in the insert in your bulletin, along with details about what you can bring for a good Methodist potluck. So youth and children, everybody will be meeting there tonight at 5 o'clock. We wanted to let you know that tomorrow, your church staff will be on retreat together. So if you would keep us in prayer, we would appreciate that. We're going to be praying and playing and planning together. So most of us will be away from the building in case you stop by and want to see someone. We probably won't be here. Next Sunday, October 1st, our young adults are gathering for a hike right after the late service. They'll gather in Reed Hall at noon to go to Beeman Park and be back here at the church about 3. Also, there are more details about that in your insert. This morning, we are continuing our journey through some of Jesus' parables, and we come upon one of the hardest ones, at least for me, this morning. So I hope as we begin this hour of worship, you will join me in opening our hearts and minds to this parable that we might hear a word from God and live in God's way. Let's worship together.
Which was destroyed, he had worship. Whether we are first or last or somewhere in between, let us worship God together. We continue to believe that we must earn our way into God's heart. But God's grace is given to each of us, for all of us, freely and unconditionally, always. Let us open our lives to this mercy as we pray together. Please join me in the prayer of confession. It seems we cannot decide, gracious God. We say we will live to serve others, but end up meeting only our needs. We claim to live in a way that honors Christ, but we do not take him to work, school, home. We believe that the gospel can transform lives, even and especially our own. Forgive us, Holy One. Instead of grumblers, may we be ambassadors of grace. Instead of continual complaining, may we carry compassion to the hurting. Instead of whiners, may we be workers with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to reach out and bring the kingdom of God to everyone. Friends, this is the good news. There is no ranking in God's kingdom. God graces everyone with the same gifts: mercy, restoration, new life. God has kept the covenant of love. We have been forgiven. We have been made new. Thanks be to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, David and Heather Goodridge bring their son, Wright Hastings Goodridge. And Jack and Sandra Noble bring their daughter, Helena Elizabeth Noble, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Heather, Dave, Sandra, and Jack, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture Wright and Lena in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these children now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with the community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and you brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these children who receive it, to wash away their sin, clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that in dying and being raised with Christ, you may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, live and reign forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Wright Hastings. Wright Hastings. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you'll put your hands on him, gather around. Wright Hastings, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
And what name is given this child?
Helena Elizabeth.
Helena Elizabeth. Helena Elizabeth, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you all would lean in, please place hands. Helena Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit you may be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take you two out to the center here in the middle of your new big family. This is your family in Christ, and these are the people that are going to nurture you in your faith and walk with you as you grow and learn and discover what it is to know that God loves you and loves you very much.
Will the congregation please stand and
face these children? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother and sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Wright Hastings and Helena Elizabeth to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idly in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then go into the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The word of God for the people of God.
While the grown-ups are being seated, we invite children of all ages to come forward for just a moment. We just heard another story that Jesus told his disciples. We call Jesus' stories parables. And that story that we just heard made me think of another story that happened to me. Last year in December, I went to visit a school. It was an elementary school. And some of the teenagers, some of the youth from my church, went to that school every single Tuesday. And they would go and help the kids there to read, and they'd play with them, and they'd teach them their letters and their colors and teach them music. And those teenagers were there every single Tuesday. And so one day in December, I decided to go see what it was all about. I wanted to see what those teenagers were doing. And so I showed up, and it just so happened that on that day, all of the teachers at the school had put together presents for all the volunteers. So they had a present for every teenager that volunteered and all the adults who went with them. And I got a present too. I got this wonderful, it could be for coffee, but maybe hot chocolate would be more to your taste, right? It's got Christmas ornaments on it, it's beautiful. And at first I thought, well, I don't deserve this because I haven't been coming every week like everybody else has. I just showed up today and I get a present. And the woman who was handing them out said, "Of course you get a present. We have plenty to go around, and we're just so glad that you came today." And that's kind of like the story that Jesus just told, that God has so much love, so much to give us. It doesn't matter if we showed up at the beginning or if we showed up at the end. God wants to give each and every one of us God's love and grace. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for how much you love us and you love everybody. Help us to be as kind and generous as you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back to your seats with your parents, grandparents, or friends you came with. So this is a wonderful story about God's grace, but of all Jesus' parables, I think it is perhaps the one I dislike the most. I find this one really hard to take. I mean, all of Jesus' parables have some sort of shock element to them. Many of them sort of turn at the end and surprise us, like the Good Samaritan. Jesus' audience would have never thought that the hero of that story would be a Samaritan. Or the story about the shepherd who leaves behind 99 sheep to follow one? That's not very good shepherding practice. What's that about? And I think sometimes Jesus puts those things in his parables to grab our attention and to make us think about things in a different way. And this parable has a terrible shock element to it. We hear the story about these workers who were hired to work in a vineyard. There were some who were hired at the beginning of the day and they worked hard for 12 hours, and then others who only worked an hour. And when the time came for them to be paid, they were all paid the same. And to add to the element of shock, the way Jesus tells the story, the landowner lines the workers up from the last hired to the first. So the ones who were hired first are watching, and they're seeing all these others being paid the same amount, and they think they're going to get more, or their expectations are raised, and then they get paid the same amount as those who've only worked an hour. I read this parable, and I want to shout, "That's not fair!" And I think that's exactly the response Jesus is going for. He knows his audience. He's talking to insiders with this parable. He is talking to his disciples, not just the 12, but others who have been following him. But these are folks who have given up a lot to stay close to Jesus and to follow him and to live as he wants them to live. In fact, the disciple Peter had just said, "Hey, Jesus, we've given up all this stuff to follow you." And Jesus says, "Yes, that's wonderful. You will be rewarded, but here's a parable." And as someone in Bible study this week said, it's like Jesus says, "But don't get the big head, because now I'm getting ready to tell you a story." I think Jesus wants us to identify with those who were hired first and to come to the end of this parable and say, "That's not fair," because he's inviting us to examine what's underneath that attitude of "that's not fair." So I want to dig into that just a little bit. And to do that, I want to look at what these first hired workers say to the landowner when they find out they're being paid the exact same amount as those who were hired last. They say to him, "You have made them equal to us." Now, I know we all believe in the grace of God that is for all people. We all believe and proclaim that God loves everybody unconditionally. I believe that. I say it every week. I know it in theory. But goodness gracious, I hope I have a little bit of extra favor with God. I mean, you know, you and I got out of bed this morning and came to church. We had all sorts of other choices. We could have, well, I didn't really have a choice, but you had a choice. You could have stayed in bed. You could have gone to Starbucks. You could have done many things, but you made the effort to be here in church to worship. And we make the effort to pray and to give and to work for social justice and to do all these things for God that we know God wants us to do. And are you telling me, Jesus, that that person who sleeps in every Sunday morning, that person who is mean-spirited and bullies everybody in the office, or that person who is stingy with her money, is loved just as much by God as I am? Doesn't all this effort I'm making make a difference to you, God? Don't you like me just a little bit more? I think this parable stirs up those feelings and those questions in us. And it might even lead us to say, well, if all this effort I'm making doesn't make God love me more, then what's the point? If I'm not somehow earning points in heaven for all this getting up early and praying and giving, and then what's the point? Which brings me to the second protest that these workers make to the landowner. We have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Is that what life with God feels like for us? Burden and scorching heat? Is it really that much drudgery and sacrifice for us to be in relationship with the God who loves us and covers us with grace? I think these workers had gotten all caught up in what they deserved and how hard they had worked, and they deserved to be rewarded for that, rather than thinking about how grateful they were to have known from the very beginning of the day that they had a place to belong and good work to do, and that at the end of the day they would be given what they needed. Maybe it would help us, if we find ourselves struggling with that attitude, to think about what it was like to still be standing at 5 o'clock in the afternoon with no work. Last Sunday, Susan Brown did our ministry moment, and she was talking about our Room in the Inn ministry. And every Wednesday night, we have 12 homeless gentlemen who stay the night at our church. And I learned this week that early on Thursday morning, they are loading the church bus and going back downtown, most of them, so that they can get to the labor pool. So they can go and be in a place where contractors and others can come and hire them for the day. Imagine what it's like to stand there, and 9 o'clock comes, and noon comes, and you don't have any money to buy lunch, and 3 o'clock comes, and 5 o'clock comes, and you haven't been hired, and you have no way to feed your family. You live with that anxiety all day long, and as the clock ticks, the anxiety grows. what a blessing and a gift it is. For those who have known early on, they have a place to belong, and they are provided for by the love and grace of God. We've just celebrated the baptism of these two beautiful children. And our job as a church is to tell them from day one that they are loved, that they belong, that God has a meaning and a purpose for their lives, and there's nothing they can do that will ever separate them from the love of God. What a gift and a grace to be born into that love and to know it from the very beginning. And what about those who don't have that experience, who didn't have a church that told them that, or who don't have a place where they are loved and accepted just as they are? Perhaps this parable can invite us into greater compassion for those who are waiting because no one has hired them yet. So maybe you and I could rewrite this parable or the ending of it. Perhaps those workers are lined up, and as the workers who were hired at 5 o'clock discover that a full day's wage has been placed into their hands, those of us standing in the back of the line who've been working for 12 hours can rejoice with them and say, "I am so happy for you. Now you can provide for your family. Isn't this landowner great? I think I want to work for him full time." Each week we have an opportunity to reaffirm our faith in a good and gracious and generous God and to be reminded who we are called to be as God's people in the world. So I would invite you now to stand as you're able and join with me in affirming our faith, the affirmation found on page 883 in our hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up both our joys and concerns to God and to one another. If you have a prayer request that you would like us to keep in mind during the week, please fill out the prayer request card. It's gray and it's in the pew rack in front of you. And you can note whether you'd like for the prayer to be kept confidential. When you fill that card out, you can place it into the offering in just a moment. The rose on the communion table this morning is in celebration of the birth of Helena Louise Martin. She was born September the 12th to Allison and Travis Martin. She is also welcomed by her grandmother, Pat Holdridge. Our thoughts and prayers are with many West End members today as they grieve the loss of loved ones. Melissa Penry Williams of Litchfield, Kentucky, died on August the 29th at her mother's home in Paducah, Kentucky. Rick, Helen, Isabella, and Vivian Sanders are mourning the death of Rick's father, Dick Sanders, who died September the 16th in San Francisco, California. They are also mourning the loss of Rick's stepfather, Gary Rich, who died on August 4th in California. Andrew, Josie, and Barrick Nielsen are mourning the death of Andrew's father, Dr. Craig Morgan Nielsen, who died September the 17th in Greenville, South Carolina. Our longtime custodian, Stefan Gergel, is mourning the death of his father, Stefan Gergel Sr., who died September the 20th in Viripol, Slovakia. Services were held there on Saturday. Carolyn Morrison Barton died on Wednesday, September 20th. Her memorial service will be held this afternoon, Sunday, September 24th, at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service at 1 o'clock in Reed Hall. She is survived by Laura Riley and John Barton, her daughter and son, and their families. Robin Moore is mourning the loss of her mother, Laura Pepper Moore, who died on September the 24th, who died on September the 21st. Visitation will be held Tuesday, September the 26th, from 11:30 to 1 at First Baptist Church of Nashville. And on Wednesday, September 27th, from 10 to 11:30 at Cole Garrett Funeral Home in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. Now let us offer to God our silent and our spoken prayers. This morning I will choose to use the familiar words of St. Francis of Assisi. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is division, unity. Where there is error, truth. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And now we join together in the most familiar of prayers, the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I'd like to invite Kirby Davis for our ministry moment to share about one of our ministry partners, Open Table.
Good morning, everyone. In October, every two reservations you make on Open Table will make the third one free. That's a joke. Just kidding. What is Open Table? In 2010, the flood wiped out Tent City. And there were 140 families living there. And out of that, a group of outreach workers got together and committed to working to relocate them. Open Table became the organization they formed. And they're committed to disrupting cycles of injustice, of poverty, sorry, Elizabeth, journeying with the marginalized, and educating on homelessness. I think 3 years ago, the Tennessee Conference ordained Ingrid McIntyre, their executive director, to be an outreach worker to the streets. And for the last 2 years, our congregation, along with Belmont Cavalry, have helped support a resource navigator. And unlike many organizations, Open Table actually goes to the streets and meets these people and befriends them. And I want you to hear from Elizabeth, who has been, you've helped support for the last 2 years, a story of one of those people. In October, our communion offering will go to support Umpa Table. So don't make the mistake of writing your check today to it. Next Sunday at communion. But now I'd like Elizabeth to share the story of Tom with you.
Good morning. So like Kirby said, my name is Elizabeth. I'm an outreach worker with Open Table Nashville. My designated area is the West Side, and it's a collaboration involving West End and Belmont and Calvary. I wanted to tell you a little bit about my friend Tom. I met Tom early this summer. I was actually bringing supplies for another gentleman, and Tom said, "Is there any way you could help me get some work shoes?" And just like that, our friendship was born. I started working with Tom. He is a veteran and had been without housing for over 2 years. He'd had some discouraging experiences that led him to feel like maybe housing wasn't in the cards for him, and he wasn't sure what his journey would look like going forward. But he and I started working together and having conversations about what would be needed to pursue housing as an option for him. And along the way, I learned a lot of things about Tom that have made him very dear to me. One of the things is that Tom is an amazing poet. He writes for The Contributor. Almost weekly, his work is published, and he always saves a copy for me. So I have a nice collection of just hearing his heart and his mind put into words. He's also a vendor, so he sells The Contributor as well. Surprisingly, Tom loves video games. He's a gentleman in his early 60s, so that kind of took me off guard, but those are one of his true passions in life, is video games and technology. Tom is a Nashville native. He grew up here, and his grandmother owned a home on the West End, and since has that home no longer exists. It's been rebuilt into a newer property. And he's kind of shared some of his thoughts and heart and about that journey. But as we started to journey together and explore what it would mean like, what it would mean for us to work towards housing for him, Tom became one of my dear friends. And I'm excited to report that earlier this month we moved him into his own apartment. Just to see him get to start to reimagine what his life would look like moving forward, to begin to consider other options, other kinds of work he'd be passionate about doing, ways that he can give back. He's already written down his information for me multiple times as if I didn't have it, because he wants to come out and volunteer at our resource shelters. Just see him have a new kind of lease on life and be encouraged about what his journey looks like moving forward has been such a blessing. And I'm very thankful for the role that West End plays in Open Table and in the work we get to do with our friends like Tom. Thank you.
And I just want to reiterate Elizabeth's thank you to all of you for making that possible. Next Sunday, a donor has agreed to match every donation, so your gifts will be doubled. And now, let us praise God. Great is God's mercy towards us. Let us offer a portion of what God has given us with humble and grateful hearts.
joining to come forward. This may be the most we've ever had join at one service. First, I'd like to introduce you to Patrick Donovan. Patrick is a composer and a knowledge management specialist at Service Source. He's transferring from Grove Avenue Baptist Church in Henrico, Virginia. Next, Olivia Fitzpatrick and Colin Schneeweiss. Olivia is a first grade teacher at Oak Hill School. Colin is a consultant with FTI Consulting. They're engaged to be married next summer. Colin is transferring from St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Forest, Virginia, and Olivia is transferring from First United Methodist Church in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. Next, we have Fred and Tracy Rudolph and their children, Frederick and Annalise. Frederick is in seventh grade and Annalise is in fourth grade. Fred is an independent consultant, and Tracy is also a consultant with Synchronous Health. They are transferring from St. Philip Catholic Church in Franklin. Next, we have Jeff Steele. Jeff is an architect with Dollar General, and he is transferring from St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Chicago, Illinois. Next, we have Neethu Thampi. Neethu is a senior at Vanderbilt University. She's transferring from Chicago Marthoma Church in Des Plaines, Illinois. And finally, last but not least, we have David Tate and Martha Dillon. David is married to Carol Cavan Dillon. You might know her. Tate is in 10th grade and Martha is in 7th grade. David is an attorney with Dillon Estate Council, and they're transferring from Christ United Methodist Church in Franklin. Okay. Patrick, Fred, Tracy, Frederick, Colin, Jeff, and Neethu, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, David, Tate, Martha, Patrick, Fred, Tracy, Frederick, Annalise, Colin, Olivia, Jeff, and Neethu are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks out, after the service in Reed Hall. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
go from this place to love our neighbors in such a way that they will know the loving, gracious, and generous God whom we serve, and go in God's peace.